Welcome to our AJP Renal Physiology podcast, which highlights manuscripts published in the journal. Today we are speaking with Simon Atkinson and Peter Corradon about their paper entitled, A Method to Facilitate and Monitor Expression of Exogenous Genes in the Rat Kidney Using Plasmid and Viral Vectors, which was published in the May 2013 issue of AJP Renal Physiology. And the authors included Peter R. Corradon, George Rhodes, Ellen Leonard, David Basil, Vincent Gattone, Robert Bacalao, and Simon Atkinson. In this paper, the authors describe the use of hydrodynamic fluid delivery to achieve a robust expression of transduced and transfected transgenes in the whole kidney. Welcome, Dr. Atkinson and Dr. Corradon. I would like to start by asking you to tell us something about the hydrodynamic fluid delivery technique you employed, and what sort of cells you were able to target using this approach?
Well, that's a good question. I think basically what we were looking at is that we tried a series of different injection ports, but we determined that the renal vein was best. And in so doing, we used a relatively low volume, which was about 0.5 mils, and we actually injected that right into the renal vein. And by this procedure, we had a very brief period of ischemia, which was less than three minutes. Basically the time taken for us to clamp both renal artery and renal vein to inject. And in so doing, after we optimized this process, we observed that there tends to be a relatively non-selective way in which we saw the cells and also the regions of the kidney that received or expressed these particular transgenes using both our plasmid and our viral vectors.
Do you observe any damage to the kidney tissues using this approach?
This is something that we looked for very closely because obviously this technique is not particularly useful if it causes significant injury to the kidney just from the transfection technique. So we used several different methods, some sort of standard methods, so measures of serum creatinine, histology, and then also using intravital microscopy to look at various parameters such as blood flow, such as the ability of transfected cells to be active in endocytosis of probes that were delivered to the lumen of the kidney tubule. And we couldn't see any signs of injury after the first day or so following the injection procedure. There are some very minimal signs of injury early on, but they seem to resolve completely very rapidly following the procedure, and there seemed to be no long-term consequences of the transfection procedure itself.
You used adenovirus, baculovirus, and naked plasmid DNA in your studies. Why do you think the naked DNA worked best?
Well, at this point in time, it's really hard to say. However, what we did not do, or in our studies, we did not really try to make an attempt to optimize the concentration of plasmid versus the adenoviral titer. Moreover, what we saw that we also figured that if the method of transfection turned out to be one related to just an ambient destruction, it could be that the viral particle confers no advantage at this point and maybe a hindrance. Nevertheless, the results that we've actually acquired with our injection process, looking at the large molecular weight dextrans, which are of comparable weight and size to the viral vectors and also plasmid, show that you can actually get an uptake of the basal lateral and also the apical membranes, giving us an idea in some cases as to we believe that these particles could actually be rerouted and in turn filtered and or even taken up on the basal lateral side. But this is at most what we can actually infer at this point in time.
How do you foresee using this technique in the future? And can you imagine techniques that will allow for selective populations of cells to be transduced?
I think there are a tremendous number of uses for this technique. I think any investigator will be able to imagine hundreds of uses in their own research. It will be particularly useful in conjunction with fluorescence microscopy, for example, to introduce various types of fluorescent biosensors into the kidney to monitor physiological processes or to monitor aspects of pathophysiology. There's also a potential to use this for more mechanistic studies to understand the effect of manipulating a particular pathway with constitutively active or dominant negative versions of proteins. And we've started to do some studies ourselves to look at effects on the actual biology of the kidney or effects on injury or pathophysiological processes in the kidney of introducing particular proteins. As far as manipulating particular cell populations, I think that's largely going to be from using vectors with promoters that are optimized optimized for expression in particular cell types, that will clearly be the most specific way to target specific cell types. There may be modifications that can be made to the delivery technique that will favor transfection of particular cell types. So we didn't explore this very much, but you can imagine delivering vectors via the ureter instead of via the renal vein, and that would quite likely bias the transfection towards a different set of cells. But I think specificity is really going to come from the vector design rather than from modifications of the technique.
These are really exciting results. Thank you for speaking with us today, and we look forward to seeing more of your work in the journal.
Oh, you're very welcome.